Cultural Education for Adults in Need of Sociotherapeutic Support. We invite you to listen to excerpts from the publication, which constitutes the intellectual output of the project Cultural Education for Adults in Need of Sociotherapeutic Support, EDUSOC. This project was implemented in 2019 to 2022 as part of the Erasmus Plus program by the following institutions and organizations representing five different countries: Zamek Culture Center, Poznań, Poland; Stichting Anata Foundation, Alten, Netherlands; City Mind, London, UK; Creative Youthland, Echio, Greece; and Asociación Cultural Euroacción, Murcia, Spain. With this project, we aim to develop a basis for a cross-sectoral cultural education methodology to be used with individuals and groups in need of sociotherapeutic support. The cross-sectoral methodology incorporates elements of cultural education, including art therapy and anti-discrimination, democratic, equality and social education, psychotherapeutic support, and social care. We wanted to create innovative and modern categories to describe vulnerable groups, as well as people in crisis and dependency situations. Organizations and methods. Organizations involved in the project. 1. Zamek Culture Center. Zamek Culture Center, CK Zamek, is a public municipal cultural institution operating in Poznań, Poland. As a public institution, CK Zamek assigns great value to cooperation with its immediate neighbours, fostering the development of social ties among people and discussing issues which are of greatest importance to the local community. CK Zamek employs over 100 full-time employees, and the institution works with a huge number of educators, artists, activists, and volunteers every year. In addition, CK Zamek has teams consisting of employees of different departments, for example, Zamek Accessibility Team, which ensures that CK Zamek is accessible for people with different disabilities, or the Zamek for Climate Environmental Team. Zamek Culture Center is an open place welcoming any visitors who want to take part in the organized events, take a look at the interiors of the castle, or just relax. CK Zamek is a place where visual arts, theatre, film, music, literature, and cultural education initiatives meet, intermingle, and complement each other. It hosts regular activities for teachers and school groups, film meetings for schools, tours of the castle, creative workshops accompanying the exhibitions of contemporary art and old masters shown at the institution, museum lessons, literature workshops, etc. One of the key areas of CK Zamek's activity is provision of non-formal education programs for adults focused on inclusion and diversity. 2. Euroacción. Euroacción is a non-governmental organization that supports youth and adult learning, as well as professional and personal development of people with fewer opportunities. The organization's vision is based on supporting individuals and simultaneously addressing broader social changes. Its mission is to inspire and stimulate human potential. The organization operates in the Spanish region of Murcia, where it implements both local and European projects. Euroacción was inspired by the idea of applying the humanistic socio-educational practices taken from the non-formal education framework to working on personal and professional development. The organization was founded in 2002 and became active in local projects, as well as management of European projects in the same year. It works with groups at risk of social exclusion, such as migrants, people who have been incarcerated, and Roma people, and at the same time remains active in educational activities related to personal and professional development. In European projects, Euroacción specializes in such fields as human rights education, HRE, training of youth coaches, and group facilitation. Since 2015, Euroacción has also been involved in volunteering projects, initially under the European Voluntary Service and currently under the European Solidarity Corps, in which the organization performs management activities in all areas of the program. 3. Stichting Anata Foundation. The Anata Foundation was founded in 2015 in Alten, a city located in the eastern part of the Netherlands. It was established as an organization of young professionals devoted to the well-being of people and the planet. Carried out within the framework of positive psychology, the Foundation's activities focus on strengthening the sense of happiness, well-being, and connection with nature. Since its inception, the Foundation has been active in the field of youth work, focusing on non-formal education and personal development. The organization's mission is based on the belief that nature and humans are inextricably linked with each other. The aim of the Foundation's activities is to build a reality in which people and nature can coexist in harmony. The so-defined mission statement translates into projects that are inspired by nature. The Inata Foundation sees nature as a special and inspiring process in which human beings participate as an integral part. Once we relearn to perceive nature as a part of ourselves, it will be easier to realize how important it is to take care of nature, and thus also of ourselves. Nature is seen as an inspiration for the renewal of human communities on the basis of the values of reciprocity, resilience, diversity, and interdependence. 4. City Mind. City Mind is an organization based in London, City Mind London, and Brussels, City Mind Brussels. City Mind emerged from direct action initiatives undertaken by a group of activists over 2 decades ago. Over time, the organization's initial reactive approach was replaced with a responsive one, with the aim of ensuring a long-term social transformation. City Mind's independent educators and creative practitioners work with project participants on building strategies for lasting change that go beyond mitigating the impact which oppressive practices and systems have on the participants' daily lives. The creative practitioner's approach to social therapeutic education includes 3 characteristic elements: meeting people where they are, listening to the needs and desires of the participants, and externalizing their problems. Oppression often works in such a way that individuals begin to perceive themselves or others as problematic. Thus, it is crucial to understanding that a well-meaning educational process must situate and examine the problem participants face within a broader social and political context. Specific manifestations of participants' behavior are often the result of external processes, for example, various forms of discrimination, the environment in which people function, or the burden of traumatic past experiences. 5. Creative Youthland. The Creative Youthland organization was established in 2014 in Greece, in the coastal town of Echio, with the aim of inspiring future generations and in response to the country's economic crisis and its impact on young people. The mission of Creative Youthland, implemented at local, European, and international level, is to bring about social change by combining non-formal education methods with an artistic approach, derived from theatre, circus, dance, painting, sculpture, music, poetry, and visual arts, etc. Creative Youthland works mainly with teenagers, young adults, and members of underrepresented communities. The Creative Youthland's coaches believe in the transformation that occurs when people realize that they can live healthy and happy lives thanks to their uniqueness within the community. They focus on the understanding of human diversity, acceptance of cultural contexts out of which they arise, and respect for their needs. They believe in resilience as an art of accepting weaknesses and encouraging people to make mistakes and keep trying. They trust in the power of art to enrich the life of young people in all of its aspects. They believe in learning as a lifelong process that should be accessible to everyone. They respect nature as the ultimate source of life. Methods and approaches used in the project. The methods of cultural education of adults presented in this chapter may prove particularly useful for the education of adults in need of socio-therapeutic support. These methods help to empower individuals in various, sometimes very subtle ways, from increasing their agency and capacity for self-determination and setting boundaries to supporting the development of their creativity and ability to regulate their nervous systems when overloaded with stress stimuli. 1. Wendo. Wendo is a feminist method of preventing gender-based violence against women through empowerment of women, girls, and other female-presenting people. Above all, it is a method of self-defense and assertiveness training. Unlike self-defense courses, it is not focused solely on punches, kicks, releases, or other means of physical defense. Wendo prefers using tools that develop communication skills and foster assertiveness, as well as working on voice, body, and breath control. Basic training takes 12 hours, and it is designed to build self-confidence and sense of agency in women, allow them to experience their mental and physical strength and power, and help them regain their voice and sense of physicality. It also contributes to the stimulation of informed decision-making. Wendo is not a form of martial art. During the classes, participants learn foremost how to prevent escalation of violence, and in case of danger, how to effectively defend themselves, also physically. Wendo does not constitute therapy. Two-day Wendo workshops can be part of socio-therapeutic programs and cultural education projects aimed at women and female-presenting people of all ages, from children through teenagers to adult women. During the Wendo workshops, participants learn how to respond to violence and other forms of boundary crossing. They boost their self-confidence, self-esteem, and sense of agency. As Wendo is also a technique of mental self-defense, it provides knowledge on effective methods of communication and expressing one's needs, emotions, and opinions. This in turn helps resolve conflicts, overcome stereotypes and fears, as well as feelings of guilt and shame. 2. Music therapy. Nordoff Robbins' approach to music therapy is based on the therapist and the session participants taking part in collective music making. The processes that arise out of their teamwork becomes therapeutic. Music making requires a number of skills from the session participants, namely physical, cognitive, social, and emotional ones. Playing solo requires taking the initiative, playing as a team, the ability to listen to one another, while playing any instrument stimulates movement and requires the ability to remember and arrange consecutive rhythmic sequences. Music moves participants both literally and figuratively. They require motivation to actively participate in playing, but also coordination, concentration, good memory, and creativity, as well as many other skills. The key assumption behind this approach is the concept of inner musicality, understood as the innate ability of humans to respond to music. Regardless of the agility level, age, or musical experience, anyone and everyone has inner musicality. It can be changed by illness or disability, but it cannot be silenced. Inner musicality is present in the sound of our breathing, heartbeat rhythm, pace of movement, muscle contractions, and internal biological rhythms. Every person is a collection of unique sounds, which may become the beginning of the collectively created music. The Nordoff Robbins music therapy is resource-based work, focusing on what is still possible to achieve despite disability, illness, or injury. The task of the therapist is to create an environment in which the participants will be able to actively engage in playing, singing, or moving to the music. This is why improvisation plays an important role in this approach. Both the therapist and the participants are responsible for ongoing adjustment of the musical activities and therapy process. 3. Dance and movement choreotherapy based on the principles of authentic movement. Choreotherapy is one of the techniques used in art therapy. It is based on the assumption that contact with art helps to gain insight into problems, reduce negative emotions, and develop positive self-esteem. Dance movement therapy is additionally guided by the idea that the body reflects the state of mind, and modifications to movement patterns can lead to changes in the psyche. Bodywork helps workshop participants to open themselves to their own emotions and needs. Engagement of the physical, cognitive, spiritual, and social spheres allows for their integration, which fosters better relations with the environment and greater ease in achieving personal goals. In choreotherapy, there are two levels of activity that can overlap and complement each other: movement and dance, building knowledge and practical awareness through bodywork, thematic improvisation, somatic supporting techniques. Performance and theatre, drama, voice work, improvisation, creating etudes. Choreotherapy supports, enhances self-awareness in both direct and multidimensional manner. It allows us to release and share energy and recognize, acknowledge, and experience things as they are. Choreotherapy offers a chance to work on body awareness, the sense of agency, and learn how to function in accordance with the relevant expectations and needs, both as an individual and a member of a social group. It assigns great importance to providing workshop participants with appropriate support to help them achieve the sense of well-being in each of these areas. Art and therapy methods are used to create activities which rely on directness, closeness, sensitivity, and equality. 4. Gestalt therapy and Gestalt theatre therapy. Gestalt is a word derived from the German language. In the most general sense, it means whole, pattern, or form. Together, all these meanings indicate preference for the whole over parts in terms of categories. In this sense, Gestalt is a holistic process and method. It treats the individual as a whole composed of a mind, body, emotions, and spirit, a whole which experiences reality in a unique way. The main premise for the approach, which combines Gestalt therapy and Gestalt theatre therapy, is to activate emotional memories in the workshop participants through improvisational theatre. Improvisation exercises are meant to increase the individual's awareness of the issues that plague them in life. Activities that can be implemented under this approach consist of improvisations conducted in groups and pairs, duos, on the basis of fictitious conflict situations in which individual participants are asked to play chosen roles or characters. Both Gestalt therapy and Gestalt theatre therapy, GTT, are therapeutic disciplines that can be used in working with target groups that require support in the scope of mental health, general well-being, and self-awareness of participants. An in-depth diagnosis of the needs of these groups is not required, although people in a mental health crisis or with past traumatic experiences may be particularly sensitive to improvisations conducted in pairs on the basis of fictional conflict situations. It is worth providing them with the support of specialized therapists during the workshop. Both the Gestalt therapy and the GTT are simultaneously very effective and very creative approaches. 5. Positive psychology. Positive psychology has been a recognized subfield of psychology since 1998, when Martin Seligman first chose it as the leading theme of his term as the president of the American Psychological Association. Positive psychology points to the limitations of so-called traditional psychology, which result from its excessive focus on the problems and shortcomings of the individual. Instead, it focuses on the study of optimal functioning, flourishing, and on the categories of emotional, social, and psychological well-being. The self-determination theory, STD, formulated by Edward L. Deci and Richard M. Ryan, and based on research into intrinsic motivation, is also part of the positive psychology approach. The following three psychological needs are considered to be crucial according to the STD. Need for autonomy, the sense of agency and control over one's own life. Need for relatedness, the sense of connection with others. Need for competence, the sense of being good at something. All three of these needs have to be supported in order to ensure the individual's optimal well-being. Meeting these requirements is conducive to improving personal productivity, perseverance, and creativity. 6. Nature in social work. There are different methods and approaches to working with nature that can be used in the education of people in need of socio-therapeutic support. What they all have in common is the belief that contact with nature has a positive impact on people's well-being. This approach is based on the following concepts. Biophilia. The well-being and survival of our ancestors depended on their connection with nature, which they needed to, for example, find food and water, navigate, and predict the time and future weather conditions. Attention restoration theory. The natural environment is an attention regulator. Individuals demonstrate that they can concentrate better after spending time in nature or even after seeing nature scenes. Stress reduction theory. Exposure to non-threatening natural environments, which in the course of evolution have been beneficial for people's well-being and survival, automatically evokes various psychophysiological responses that reduce stress. Viewing or visiting natural environments after a stressful situation promotes rapid physiological regeneration and relaxation. Justification for using nature activities to help people with socio-therapeutic needs can be found in the Green Mind Theory, especially in its try and brain concept, according to which the brain consists of the archicortex, the limbic system responsible for emotions, and the neocortex. The Green Mind Theory assumes an optimal balance between the reptilian brain and the neocortex. Activities performed with full attention and complete immersion calm the internal noise. In the Green Mind Theory, this state of mind is known as the flow. 7. Expressive arts. Expressive arts are a combination of non-formal education methods and an artistic approach derived from theatre, clowning, and tango. The essence of this combined approach is education through experience, learning through action. The expressive arts method works very well as a complement to formal education, as it shifts the burden of activity from the mental sphere to an embodied action. It stems from the belief that in modern societies, many human activities are based on mental engagement required by the late capitalism trends of investing in the development and competencies of individuals. The expressive arts method allows people to become more rooted in physical activity, focused on here and now, as well as movement and performative activity. This method also makes use of a wide range of nonverbal communication approaches to facilitate cooperation and group interactions. The main goals of the expressive arts approach are to increase creativity and attentiveness, focus on here and now, support self-expression, renew participants' connection with the body, communicate with others through the body, be available to active listeners, be open to integration with others and release tension through laughter. Workshops should begin with meditation or mindfulness exercises, during which the group determines the intent of the activities together. The next step is to introduce exercises, for example, a getting to know each other exercise or team building and trust-based games. The third, key part of the workshop is devoted to delving into the main topic. The workshop ends with a summary session, which is achieved through participants telling the group what word, gesture, or expression describes their feelings. 8. Experience design. Experience design is a part of a set of new disciplines, which include also design thinking, that exist at the intersection of several areas. Many of them are employed for strictly commercial purposes. We would like to present a specific approach developed by Susan Buck and Pigal Tavakoli, which focuses on transformation of the audiences of specific cultural institutions and non-government organizations. This approach has potential applications in both activism and education, serving to increase the organizational effectiveness of education-based activities. Experience design is an approach which supports the design of campaigns and processes that allow people to actively learn in order to exert positive influence on their environment and become agents of change. Organize activities of associations and groups to allow them to act in solidarity with each other and transform their communities. Provide educators and activists with tools that enable self-reflection, making it possible for them to assess the actual impact of their work and share this knowledge with other members of their team or with other stakeholders. An important element of experience design is Flow's engagement thresholds model, which became a tool for identifying barriers hindering involvement of potential participants of projects carried out by different institutions and organizations. In terms of experience design and engagement thresholds, the sociotherapeutic educational process is primarily an experience, or a program of experiences, of people and groups living in the social environment of institutions and organizations. The most memorable experiences affect people on the emotional level. We forget what we read, heard, or saw, but we usually remember how something made us feel. Background information and definitions. Who are adults in need of sociotherapeutic support? In our project, we devoted a lot of attention to the issue of defining groups in need of sociotherapeutic support. But who is to identify individuals and groups as ones that have a particularly strong need for support? During our discussions, we realized that sociotherapeutic needs are very often invisible at the first glance. Traumas experienced by individuals and groups often remain unexpressed and unconscious. People can also perceive their own dependencies on caregivers, as well as patriarchal, family, and other systems as problematic, but at the same time, impossible to change. We discuss the fact that a democratically and sensitively structured educational relationship can also trigger reflexivity, which can contribute to changing a learner's situation and allowing them to develop a greater ability to express their needs and find the right language to describe them. For this reason, we have made the democratic assumption that, potentially, we all need socio-therapeutic support. We believe that adoption of this thesis allows us to look more closely at both learners and those who take on the role of educators through the prism of their unexpressed or unacknowledged needs and deficits, and create a space in which they can together search for a language to describe their individual circumstances. We also draw attention to the structural contexts of various climate, economy, energy, migration, and war crises, which are currently exacerbating social inequalities and worsening the living conditions of many individuals and groups. Populations affected by energy and housing poverty, arising out of climate and war-related crises, will only continue to grow and reveal new, unexpected, and perhaps as yet unnamed problems. Individuals may perceive difficult life situations as problematic and hard to bear. On the one hand, they may feel responsible and even guilty for their own difficult circumstances. On the other hand, said circumstances do not necessarily constitute consequences of individual actions, but reflect social, economic, and political relations, which result in permanent, systemic exclusions of certain individuals and groups, as well as their marginalization or threats thereof and overt discrimination. From this perspective, individuals have no influence or control over the processes and mechanisms that define and determine their circumstances. Groups and individuals who are discriminated against or marginalized can be broadly referred to as vulnerable groups. Competence development of adults in need of socio-therapeutic support. Cultural education for vulnerable groups of adults in need of socio-therapeutic support is a particularly challenging work. Often, it entails working with people who have experienced trauma, so educators, including cultural ones, become the so-called secondary trauma recipients, that is, they get affected by trauma in a second-hand manner. Educators that work with people who are under stress because of dramatic experiences are also influenced by said people's emotions and become stressed themselves. The dramatic experiences that evoke such reactions can include traumatic events related to war, violence, including sexual violence against women, extreme poverty, and precarity, as well as discrimination on the basis of race, religion, and gender. Education that pays attention to the condition of people belonging to vulnerable groups triggers a series of emotional reactions, sometimes very difficult ones, in both learners and trainers. In this context, one of the goals of such educational activities is to create and maintain a space for these reactions, so that people who occupy said space can feel safe within its confines. Sometimes the assessment of the competence of people in need of support is done through discussion, a sort of collective process involving participants, which is also a creative activity in itself. It can include processes of becoming aware that individuals tend to internalize certain objective social problems as their personal responsibility. These processes require time and collective action. Minimal and sufficient competencies of educators in provision of psychological and socio-therapeutic support. Cultural education is commonly perceived as an interdisciplinary field of educational practices that employs a variety of artistic tools: drama, dance, music, fine arts, literature, storytelling, and others, as well as tools used in anti-discrimination, equality, anti-racist, political, critical, civic, and social education. However, cultural education is not defined on the basis of the tools used by educators. Their importance is secondary to the objectives that the educators set for themselves. A holistic approach to participants of cultural education, which takes into account their economic, welfare, political, and social situation, creates the need for defining the minimum and sufficient set of competencies in the field of psychological and socio-therapeutic support. Entire publication available at ckzamek.pl. Editing, Evelina Banaszek, Marta Koszyńska. Translation into English, Groy Translations. Editing of the translated version, Magdalena Kruk. Co-funded by the Erasmus Plus program of the European Union.